by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I'm Hyman Cage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, the news.
20 minutes, that door of the day, on the news, right now.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show. Thanks for tuning in, boys and girls. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the air is Female Satan. Female Satan, how you doing today?
I'm good. Hello, everybody.
At this point, it's just Lehigh hanging out and guest 7775, but everybody seems to be late running anyway. It never amazes me. We'll be like 15 minutes into the show, and all of a sudden, everybody from Sin will like, oh, wow, I forgot the show was running. Let's go.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And the other thing, too, is I'm always early to everything, so you always know when I'm there because I'm normally... You know that, I always show up at in chat like 5 till. I have that habit of being early to everything, so I do think it's really funny that everybody else runs late.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Normally, when I post on Sin, you know, shows live and 45, half hour, 25, whatever it is, that's when I've head over and started to, you know, set up the studio, open up the chat room. You know, all that happy horse shit that goes along with doing the news. I don't know if you've actually gotten a chance to run the switchboard yet, but it's a lot of fun nowadays. It used to be a pain in the ass.
No, I haven't. Lexi always does that.
Right on. So I guess what we should do tonight, we're celebrating 2 years, so every show I wanted to have one of the co-hosts kind of, you know, come on in. I wanted to thank them personally for, you know, the effort that they put into this show. And you being the second one, Jason last night being the first of my week-long stretch of co-hosts. I think it's fitting that you're the second one because for a long time you were what I would consider to be the biggest regular listener. So it was kind of cool when you made the transition to actually coming on to the show.
I was always there. I still always listen on the archives. I'm just not always available now to be live, which actually I don't like because a lot of times the live stuff is better. Like the Exorcist show was 500 times more hysterical if you were in the chat room that night and actually seeing what people were typing in the chat room. That made it the experience be even better. So I do miss it, but I still do listen all the time, and I've always pushed the show. I've always been a big supporter of it. I think that you've always said that you eventually want to be a channel, and I think that's a feasible goal with time and, you know, effort being put forth to it. I really do.
Yeah, that's certainly what I'm going for, and we're still brand new. We're only 2 years old at this point, so we got some time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only getting grayer a little bit every day, so we're good to go. But anyway, I was curious. I heard a little bit from Lexi about the Fallen Edition, but I was wondering if you would kind of just recap what the actual inspiration for creating the Fallen Edition was.
It's actually kind of funny because I was actually going to pitch a show to you with two female co-hosts, and I was sort of thinking about Lexi, and then we did that LHG at Large show, and it was me and her and Wicked, and I think that even Dark 17, one another. And she had been thinking the same thing. So I sent her a PM about it. She was like, that's weird, because I've been thinking the same exact thing. So, yeah, we started kind of going back and forth on what exactly we could do, and then she pitched it to you formally. But it was actually just kind of a weird thing, because I had been debating it in my head for a while.
Right on. And so it was just one of those, you thought it would be cool to have a all-female staff and do it from a more feminine perspective, I'm assuming?
Yeah. That's kind of my thing, and I've done some blogs in the past about it, but I don't feel that women participate enough. It's why I participate as much as I do, because I'm hoping that other women will go, oh, okay, so she's doing it, so I should start doing it too, because I'm a selfish person, and I want to read women's perspectives on Satanism, and I want to hear women's perspectives on Satanism. So that's kind of, that's what me and Lexi were talking about, was, you know, let's actually put that voice out there and see how it goes. And I'm quite proud of the show. It's not the same as the other Ooze shows. The tone is different, and I like that quite a bit. I think it's funny that sometimes we wind up meandering completely off topic, but it'll still work. At the end of the day, it always manages to work all right.
Right. And I personally, every episode I've tuned into, I've enjoyed immensely. Saturday night, you and Betty Doom actually got going for about 45 minutes during that show, and I just sat back and listened. I don't often get a chance to actually hear another conversation going on. So when I do get to, I sit back and enjoy the different dynamics that are there. You know, you learn a lot more about people and watching them interact with other people than actually interacting with them, at least from my perspective. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree. And me and Betty have always had that chemistry. I miss her. I wish that we could have figured out a way to work it out so that she was still there, because I think that her voice on that show was really good. I think it still works, but I do wish she was still doing it.
Right. Well, you guys always had the option of setting up something at a different time or whatever. I mean, I don't know what the deal is. I think Betty's schedule is just too restricting at this point or something like that. But I just throw that out there. You know, as far as I'm concerned, again, I want to develop this into a full channel. So the more shows that I can push to actually get out there, the closer I'll get to actually attaining that goal. So.
Yeah. I might actually talk to her about that. I was thinking about doing that after Saturday, actually. Because, you know, Betty's great. She's definitely, she's impressed me from day one. I'm really glad that she's at Fenn. And I'm glad that Fenn made her admin. I think she's a good pick for that.
Oh, absolutely. Her and Lexi both are excellent picks for admin. Betty's one of my favorite people as well. There's just something about the offness of how she talks and the depth of intelligence that's in there that keeps me chuckling as well as stimulated. So, I mean, she's definitely cool. I agree with you. That's why, you know, I'm hoping if she listens to this now or in an archive later, she will hurry up and get her show scheduled and picture into me. Sorry, shameless plug. I kind of had to do it.
I would like to see a highlight edition with her. I'd actually like to see the highlight edition brought back to the Ooze. I enjoyed those. I know they weren't listened to a lot, but I personally enjoyed them.
Right. The highlight editions were cool when there was interesting people like Betty. Is somebody that I could do a highlight edition for.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I mean, we're pretty much tapped out of interesting voices in Satanism at this point. Everybody else is kind of peddling somebody else's mojo, if you know what I mean. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely turned into that. I am quite proud of the, I see the general direction of Satanism in general as taking some pretty good turns, especially recently. And I think that it's moving in a good direction. It's just there's always kind of bumps that happen, you know, along the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's always going to be bumps that happen along the way, but what's important is keeping a constant forward motion, and beyond that, keeping a level of self-honesty that it's difficult to find in the other paths of living. So I think that this first and foremost, the most important thing is to become honest with yourself.
Yeah. I think it's the hardest part of it too, Steve. So I always have, like, really, really, really seeing yourself sometimes is, I think, rougher than anything else you can do, because you might realize that, you know, you're not a nice person, or that you've done something, like, incredibly stupid, or, you know, like I have moments I'm like, I can't believe you were like that, you know? I can't believe you were like that, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 months ago, whatever it is. It just depends, you know, and that's, I do my best to try to keep myself as, you know, honest as possible. But, yeah, it's difficult. And I think that it's something that Satan doesn't despise, but nothing else does, which is you need to be as realistic with yourself as possible at all times.
Absolutely. So that we don't beat down the topic of Satanism too much, let's talk a little more about you. I understand recently you run into some complications. Broken foot or a leg or something?
Yes, I broke my foot. My calf comes off soon. Yeah, I was training to do a warrior run in September. I set a physical goal, and I've lost about, at this point, about 100 pounds, and I went to the moving into getting stronger phase versus losing weight, and I was doing a physical training course in my area, and I had three stress fractures in my foot, and I didn't realize it, so I thought my foot just hurt, and then I was being a baby, so I ran on it for 3 days. Yeah, so they had to break the bones and reset them and all that, because I'm actually, I don't know, apparently I think I'm being a warrior princess or something, and, you know, the excruciating pain is no big deal. Yeah, it was just kind of, yeah. It was like me being, like, incredibly stupid, but yeah. But his cast should be off soon, and go back to training again. I'm just going to have to go slower because now my foot is going to be weakened. Although, and this is the weird part for me, I've never broken a bone doing anything in my life. So there's a small part of me that was like, it's kind of cool, you know. You actually did something and broke a bone. Very, very small part, and I'm pretty sure that she's the insane one. You know, because I don't think anybody else, like, I take pride in that. But, yeah, this little small part of me does.
Right on. Well, I honestly think that that's something that you should be proud of. It truthfully is a testament to one of my favorite parts about you. When you get into something, I've noticed you pick up that ball and you really run with it and you run hard with it. And then, you know, that's what I love about you. So the broken foot is just one more demonstration of that level of determination that you're constantly putting forward.
Yeah. And it's mainly, when I was a kid, because I have sensory processing disorder, my occupational therapist said to my mom, she said, I think she's going to turn out just fine. She's too stubborn for this to go in the other way. My mom was like, what do you mean? And she was like, she shouldn't be able to swing on those swings. And my mom's watching me, and I get off the swing, and I threw up, and I got back on the swing. She was like, and that's why. It makes her nauseous. And I was like, and it was like that, and I've always been like that. It's stubbornness that kind of manages to get me through a lot of hard times, and always has pretty successfully, is that, you know, I'm going to do it somehow.
But that level of determination is absolutely commendable. It's something that everybody who encounters it should completely respect. You know, keep it up. That's all I have to say. When you look down at that foot, just say that's a testament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that blog, I did a blog on that, and I was like, and this is so funny because I can always tell when a blog of mine is, if something I write is good, if I wanted to take it down as soon as I published it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no, this is too I don't like this at all. This doesn't feel right. It's too personal. I don't like it. And I want to take it down, and then I'll leave it. And everybody would be like, this is great. And I'm like, I don't know why I, you know, sat and agonized. Or I'll re-edit them like 5 or 6 times. I can always tell it when it's like, feels like a baby almost, but it has to be perfect when it comes out. But then I'm still not satisfied when it's done.
Right on. Well, I don't think anybody who's truly inspired ever is satisfied when it's done. Words are limited, especially when you're trying to express something with a certain level of passion or vigor. It seems like it's virtually impossible to capture a feeling in a few sentences or even a few hundred sentences for that matter. You know, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can always tell when I'm like actually getting on something when I start. I'll start running on, and like I'll read posts. I'm like, man, it's like a book. You don't do that. Well, yeah, but that's actually me attempting to fully explain something, and just words are kind of failing to do it at the time. I've been working on this because you asked me, you challenged me on Saturday, so I've been working on this piece about the undercurrent actually, and I'm just. Yeah, it's actually being a real struggle to try to get it the what I want to say in the right form, you know. Yeah, but I'm glad I'm doing it because it's probably one of the tougher pieces I've ever done.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. And while we're on this topic, why don't you go ahead and plug your blog so at least our listeners can go see what you've got going on.
Yeah, yeah. I transfer everything over to Finn, but I do have my own blog at a Blogspot, and it's obviously Female Saint. I managed to get that screen name everywhere. I went and registered it one day. When
right.
I realized I was going to keep it, I did that. Yeah, and now I'm surprised at the amount of places I could keep it. I actually got it. I technically have a website registered as that, too, but I haven't done anything with it yet.
No? Do you have plans for the website?
Yeah, my end goal at this time is to get, I want to get a collection of writings from female LH peers, and I don't want it to be like, say, not like a forum, but more like just different writings on different subjects, and I'm debating calling it the Babylonian Collective, actually, based on, Betty did that blog called The Babylonian Imperative. Yeah, you know, stuff like that, because I think that, you know, one of the things that needs to happen in some sense is that I think that the feminine voice of the LHP needs to come together, just even if it's just in the fact that their writings are kind of held in the same place, because it's not as underrepresented as you think. If you start, like, Googling a lot, you'll find out that there are females out there that are doing blogs and doing all kinds of things. They're just not participating on sites like Sin or the 600 Club or anything else.
Right. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I enjoy it quite a bit, but sometimes I don't like confrontation at all, which is fun considering, you know, who I am and how I post sometimes. But yeah, sometimes I just hate conflict. It seems like it would be simpler to just walk away from the whole mess, and I think it is that for a lot of women. I also think that women are, and this is the case for me especially, I'm highly emotional, and, you know, separating my emotions from my ideas is very difficult for me to do on occasion, you know, because I'm a little bit less logical than a man is, and I have to really, really, really stop myself or, you know, reread and evaluate to see, you know, is the point valid, is the point invalid, you know, and I think it's that. And I also think that women have less of a need to get into that kind of, you know, running a topic to death and things. Somebody said one time that, you know, a lot of that time forums like they're just dick measuring contest, and that's kind of true. And I think that women try to kind of, they don't really feel like participating in that.
Right, yeah. I mean, I pretty much understand that the warrior gene is a little more frequent in the male species, the male gender of our species, blah, 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 than it is in the female gender. I don't think it's absent from there either.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of interesting to me because some guys get into conflict for the sake of just simply getting into conflict. And, you know, to me that's foolish, but I also, you know, I have something else in common with you now. I've at one point in time broke my foot, only it wasn't a testament to my resilience or anything of that sort. It was a testament to my temper. I lost my temper, and I'll make a long story short. I had a set of pallets wedged in the back of a 53-foot semi about 43 foot of the way back there, so I took some tow ropes and attached it to my forklift and started to try to drag it out. Well, the underside of the pallet broke, and the tow rope shotgun back at me and hit me in the solar plex. And that being, being an abused child, I get very angry the second I get hurt. It's just, it sets me off. If something causes me pain, it sets me off, like no tomorrow. I jumped off of the forklift, and I kicked into a box, and apparently what I didn't know was inside of the box was nothing but solid wood. So I shattered the entire underside of my foot. So.
Yeah, no, we have that in common, too. If I am hurt emotionally or otherwise, I am angry. Every single time, you know, if I've hurt, I always get really, really angry. And, you know, it's actually a funny thing because I do a pretty good job at controlling that temper, but yeah, it's definitely there. And I think that's part of what makes me different than a lot of women actually is that I don't see that. Like, you know, if I actually start crying, I've probably punched a wall or something right before that. Yeah.
Right.
Just because I was so mad about something. And then I start crying, which is kind of a weird thing. But, yeah. Yeah, I'm always, you know.
To me, it's absolutely humorous that kind of thing develops in that way. When you're hurt, you go ahead and hurt yourself some more. I always,
yep,
after it's all said and done, sit with my head in my hands going, I thought I had a bigger IQ than that, but apparently,
yeah,
not.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I'm always like, what were you doing?
right on. So, all right, I got a couple more questions for you. If you had to pick a favorite episode of The Ooze over the past, now, I think about a year and a half that you've been listening? Which one would it be?
It would be a tie between, I have three favorites, and one is for humor, which is The Exorcist episode. And the episode that you and Dan did on Aonix was really, really good. And the episode that you and Betty did on The Undercurrent, those would be my top picks.
Awesome. So those three, all excellent choices. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and log those in as the first couple of votes. I'm trying to do like a listener's choice thing at the end of this all, where people will actually be able to, you know, not only hear, you know, which episode was the listener's choice, but on Monday I plan to run a 2-hour set of clips. It'd be all clips from all of the shows that were picked, so.
I think that's a good idea. I think that would work well, actually.
Right on. Another thing I'm looking for is favorite quotes. You know, something you heard said on the news that just tickled you, you're funny, or thought it was profound, or even thought it was the stupidest thing you ever heard.
I would have to dig through and re-listen to those three episodes to give you one. I actually plan on doing that this week, actually. I was going to do that so I could submit one.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. I was just actually kind of seeing if you had something and at the same time reiterating it so all the people that are listening to the archives go, oh, yeah, we're supposed to do this vote thing.
Well, exactly, yeah. Have you gotten any votes yet?
A couple. Not enough to satisfy me, though, so.
Well, with 2,000 listens, you should get plenty of votes, I think.
I think so, too. I'm just wondering if a week's enough time for these people to finish their homework.
Well, we'll see. I think that, yeah, people have to, yeah, take the time to listen through and see what they really like there. But, I mean, you know, it should be pretty easy to pick. And, I mean, there's been a, you know, certain co-hosts we've had, I've definitely had a major preference for over others for one reason or another. But, yeah, I think that it's a, I think it's been a really good run. And I even went back and re-listened to the archives where I had started listening regularly. And I was really impressed with Jason King. I didn't know it was co-host before I had started listening regularly.
Right. Well, Jason King originally was just a special guest, but he just came on so frequently that when me and Venger parted ways, he was the dude to pop in and say, "Hey, man, I'll cover the other end of the spectrum until you get somebody more permanent." And what he doesn't know is I'm about to hook him this week and kind of make him commit to doing something regularly with me. Even if it means it's only two Saturdays a month and I don't do a Saturday show or I do an alternate. Like, I know Dan Dredd's schedule is now limited and Jason King's schedule is now limited. So I'm hoping between the two of them I can get something permanent going for the Saturday slot because I'm tired of talking to myself.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering what had happened there, if it was just a fluke or, you know.
Dan's schedule just got complicated, and he was moving and all this stuff. And I talked to him just the other night, and he said he was still willing to do co-hosting. It was just couldn't be as frequent as what it has been. So between him and King, I'm hoping that I can get that slot filled up. You know, it's funny because I'm very picky with the co-hosts, and it's not something not something I can just do with anybody being there. There has to be a certain kind of rapport between me and that person. If I think they're absolutely moronic, it's not going to last more than a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. You know. I absolutely agree. You have to have a undefinable chemistry for something like that to work and work well.
Right, and I'm actually just want to make mention that Entropic Momentum Lehigh is offering to participate in the Saturday slots too. So maybe between the three of them, I can fill up a month's worth of Saturdays and you know, get something going that way. Like I said, I'm tired of talking to myself. I don't have the ego to sit and ramble for an hour. You know, I just don't have that much to say.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it without somebody. I felt so bad that one week that I had a little bit of a family emergency hoo-ha thing happen. And I didn't realize the ooze was going on that Friday, and I didn't call in, and I felt really bad because I was like, God, I can't imagine talking to myself for an hour like that. Oh, man, she probably wants to kill me.
Right. Well, that actually kind of, in a way, worked out for the better because now Wicked Pup is also joining in on Fridays, which is good because I really dig that dude and think he needs to be more vocal. You know, he has a good head on his shoulders. You don't find very many people that can think out of the box like he does.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoy Wicked Pup. I enjoy when he blogs, and yeah. I enjoy him when he calls in the ooze. I think he's great, you know. As a matter of fact, the LHD at Large show, I think that he was part of the one that, he was part of the reason that show went so well, I thought, was that he was there. Because, I mean, like, any lags, he just started talking and kind of kept things going, you know, in such a way that it really, really worked. Yeah, I'm glad that he's now going to be helping out with the ball position, because he's, I really enjoy his mind. And I agree, I wish he would speak up more.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, he's a young guy still. So in the next few years, I think we'll start to really see him come out and come into his own. I'm really looking forward to that. There's a handful of people that I've gotten to know on a pretty fairly well basis, just through working with them here on this show and then, you know, talking back and forth with them on Sin. And there's folks that I'm really expecting some pretty amazing stuff to come from in the future, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I would definitely agree with you. And I think he's in his 20s. So, I mean, he's going to have a lot longer run than I am. You know, for example, I think I've got about 10 years on him.
Right. It's possible. I think you're right around my age, so maybe a couple years younger than me. But speaking of that, how's the survivalist thing going? I know you were really getting into that for a little while.
Oh yeah, you know, I really enjoy it. We're actually talking about selling our house right now. Had some issues with our neighborhood. It went from kind of okay to bad, like, overnight. You know, like, you wake up one morning and you live in the suburbs, and then you look up the next day and there's, you know, tennis shoes over the telephone line, and the cops are driving down the road every day, and you're like, okay, it's time to move. But, yeah, no, we're actually considering buying an RV and actually going nomadic for a while just to see how the experience would be. Kind of for fun.
That would be cool. So the plan is to sell the house, buy an RV, and live off of what money is left, or you guys have got a way to keep some income going as you travel?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll keep income going as we travel, obviously. But yeah, this is something that we didn't think about. I'm dissatisfied with the public school system and what my kids are learning. So I've been looking into this program called K-12, where it's kind of like, it's online school for kids that completely supplements that kind of thing, and it qualifies, and you don't have to, you know, meet a bunch of requirements to do it. So I'm thinking about doing that. That way I have more of a hand in their education, because I'm less than happy with some of the things that they've come home and said. Like, my son said, I said that on Saturday's news. When the white man came over here and killed all the Indians, I was like, what are they teaching you, you know? Yeah, and this is kind of, I'm reaching a point where it's like, no, I don't know how exposed I want them to that particular set of memetics at this point.
Right on. Now, I'm curious, have you started to develop your exit plan? I had something go ahead.
Yeah, actually that's what we were talking about. You know, like, when the, you know, riots start, everything breaks out, we're in an RV, so we can just go somewhere else.
Right.
You know. And with the generator and other things, it's actually quite reasonable that, you know, if the electrical grid goes down or anything else, we'd have electricity longer than the average person would.
Right on. Well, with the generator and everything, if you build the right kind of generator, you know, get it to run off of, like, canola oil or something, you could have an indefinite supply. So
exactly. Yeah, I feel like I'm turning into one of those crazy people at this point. But every time I look at the news or something, I just go, it's really coming. It's going to happen soon. I can feel it. You know.
Yeah, I've got that same kind of deal. I mean, 10 years ago, I would have laughed at people who talk about things like me and Jason Sorrell have been talking about here on the news, you know, getting out of society and all that stuff. But not now, I mean, it scares the shit out of me to think that everything that these conspiracy theory people say might hold a grain of truth to it somewhere.
Oh yeah, I try to stay away from those sites I really do, because I'm very mimetically susceptible. But more importantly, I wind up getting really, really, really freaked out. Like, today it was a small thing. My husband was looking at his cell phone, and it said, locate me or find me or check it. It was called check it. Well, he clicks on some random girl's thing, and he could go all the way down to getting a picture of her house.
Right on. Yeah.
He was like, what is this? He said, I don't even know this girl. She's on my friends list on Facebook. It's like, it's a good thing I'm not a serial killer or something.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of information that's actually out there is ridiculous. I remember when Google Earth was first coming up, and you could go on there and type in an address, and you could actually look right at the front doors of whatever address that it was that you typed in. So now them connecting it to, you know, the IP address and these little cell phone flash mob type applications, you know, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be too long before, it isn't. Like, it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's already happened. I mean, you can be found.
And you can be found easily. And it's downright frightening. I told my husband, I said, with the number of death threats I've received on SIN, I'm glad that I deleted my Facebook account. He was like, yeah, that's a good thing.
Right on. I guess Lehi's going to be disappointed. He was just saying in the chat room that he wanted to be your friend on Facebook, but that's going to be kind of hard if you're deleting your Facebook account.
Yeah. I deleted it a few months ago, and then I also deleted my YouTube because they were hooked up and connected. And all you had to do was, and I didn't know that. Like, I am internet retarded, basically, at the end of the day. Everything was hooked up. You could just basically click on one of them and come up with all of my information, which when I realized that, I was like, yeah, I'm fairly terrified at the moment, you know. I've had this out here for this long, and I don't know, you know, what kind of crazy person I've attracted, potentially, or, you know, how many or how few, you know, and I've dealt with an online stalker once, so I'm kind of, yeah. But, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, I stayed off the internet until, I don't know, about October of last year, actually. And I signed up for SIN in December. I stayed away from it because it scared me to death. I don't know why. I was always like, that's scary. I don't like the internet. But then I finally kind of came around eventually. I was like, well, I guess I should go ahead and do this because everybody else does.
Right on. Seems like perfect justification to me. I mean, you know, my mom used to tell me when I was a kid these stories about Pete and Repeat, and always seemed like good logic to me. If, you know, Pete jumped off the bridge, what are you supposed to do? Repeat?
Yeah.
It's cheesy, I know, but it's a good little fucking, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. Don't just do it because somebody else is doing it thing that my mom used to teach us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and the main reason I really started participating was that I had been reading forums for a while. I never come across SIN, ironically enough, but I've been reading them for a while, and I was kind of like, these people seem kind of cool, and I want to, like, talk to them, because I learn more by doing things and interacting than I ever do by reading, which is the main reason why I signed up to begin with, is because I was like, you know, I kind of need to see these guys, you know, pull out their swords at my ideas and see what happens, you know, because
right.
And it's always been that way. I mean, like, even when I was a kid, you know, like, I can read 1,000 books on a subject, and I won't know anything about it unless I've actually done it in some way.
Right, I think a lot of people learn that way. I don't think you're alone there. There are people that, the words just kind of float around on the page in front of them. I mean, they read them and they somewhat comprehend them, but not to the level that they would if they were actually in the experience. So.
Oh yeah. That's what I've always thought. That was funny when people start going on about the doing aspect of Satanism. I'm like, you know, if I wasn't doing it, I would have no idea what it is, honestly, because I just don't concept things that way. you know, I read, and I do it. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, and that was the main reason I signed up. And I was so scared. I was terrified to sign up at the 600 Club for some reason. I still am scared to post over there for some strange reason. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, because you're as sharp as any of the rest of them there. So, I don't think you would have a problem at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, and it's kind of my issue over there a lot of times is that when I'm reading something, it's like, well, they all kind of prove my point of what I would post here. So then I, you know, just go back over to Sin, because there's a whole different, you know, a whole different ball of wax, and I'm comfortable at Sin, which actually, you know, I know that I know that I need to actually do the 600 Club because I'm not comfortable there. You know, that ultimately, you know, that's, you know, actually confronting, you know, something that you're not comfortable with. You might find out that, you know, you actually like that quite a bit, or, you know, completely hate it. But yeah, I need to, I'm comfortable at Sin. It feels like, you know, my online home, so to speak, it, you know, and,
right.
And it always has, pretty much since I signed up, which is, it's like I said on Saturday, you know, I was well received, which is, you know, it's kind of why I find it funny, this reputation that the website carries around of being, you know, mean or aggressive. It's like, I survived, and I certainly was not, you know, anywhere near where I am now on pretty much any of my ideas, but I did okay. You know, if you approach it right, the website's fine, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Hell, you've grown leaps and bounds since you got this in. I mean, if there was like a, you know, annual growing award, I think you would get it, because, you know, the amount of changing you've done since I first encountered you to now is just incredible.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's you know, it's I do agree with that. If you never put your ideas out there, you don't know if they stand up to any sort of intellectual scrutiny or not. Because you can, you know, self-deceit is easy, and deciding that you're absolutely right on something is easy. Realizing that you might be wrong is hard. You know, and that's I think where a lot of the problems lie, when somebody gets, you know, get really, really tied to that idea and they won't let it go, no matter how much proof beats them over the head with it.
Right on.
You know, I actually, it's like when I quit believing in God, it was actually the strangest thing, because there was a forum going on at Sin, and Dan dropped a link to a video. And I watched the video, and then I wound up running off and doing my own online research. And I wound up reading the book, The God Part of the Brain. But, you know.
Right.
And but that's a hard idea to take and scrutinize and eventually reject. I mean, I was fairly devastated emotionally, you know, when it happened. I was really, really upset, actually. And egalitarianism, what has been really tough to let go as well, which is ironic, but I managed that through all of this until really, really recently, and it's been pretty much that everything that I've pretty much thought has had to adjust to that being kind of pulled out of my worldview, you know, so to speak.
Right on. Right. Well, I mean, again, you've done a considerable amount of growing, and you're one of the people I look forward to doing some great things.
Yeah, I'm actually, ironically enough, I get intimidated, especially lately. I'm like, you know, you do realize that your time of being cute and, you know, kind of, you know, cute and funny is over, and has been over. You know, you need to do it and do it well here. And it actually intimidates me quite a bit, because I'm like, yeah, you know, it's time to kind of step into those shoes, speak. And I'm a little, you know, there is a little bit of a fear attached to doing that. You know, being a student and constantly, you know, saying, well, you're right, and, you know, doing that, that's easy, you know, in comparison to actually, you know, developing your own thing and creating it, that's hard.
Right on. Right. It absolutely. I mean, it's very hard, and it's very necessary all at the same time. So.
Mhm. Well, yeah. I and that's the thing is that I've been a vulture in a sense up until this point where I've kind of picked off what I like from other people to kind of create my own thing, and at some point you have to actually just start doing your own thing and, you know, actually being, you know, as original as possible, and that's the part that intimidates me, you know, like, I don't know how, you know, Jason can beat out Postmodern Satanism of the book, you know, and, you know, Dick wasn't terrified when he actually published it, because I would have been.
I think he was terrified. I mean, I know Jason King and how critical he is of himself. I can imagine that it was something that was extremely threatening to him, but he still did it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm excited to see where, you know, Dan's ADM goes, and Entropics did a post about doing his own thing. I'm interested to see where that goes, too.
Well, the good news is he's on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. I think I am. Lehi, you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Female Satan is probably one of the people that I've been following whenever she posts, because she's probably grown the most out of anybody I've seen on Sin.
Oh yeah, thank you. I read your PM. I was like, wow, you know. You said I was always evolving and moving forward. I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like hearing that.
Dreams come a long way.
Yeah, and I'm very, very happy with the growth that I've had, but I think that, you know, my age and the life I've lived has been a big factor in it, because there's been a lot of adversity, you know, in comparison to the way other people have lived their lives. So it's not as difficult, you know, get to a certain place.
Part of the thing that kind of impresses me is you're further along in life than I am, and you're growing so damn fast. I don't mean to, like, fuck up or nothing, but that's just what I've noticed.
I would say too, you know, that I've had some pretty amazing people sort of take me under their wing for different time periods. I mean, Dandrin at first, I mean, that's a pretty hard person to, you know, see underneath every single blog. You're like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then Mindfox has been, he always does it by message, but he's always managed to, when I'm at my worst, actually build me up. He just doesn't do it where anybody can see it.
Well, he must be a great deal of worth, because he doesn't seem like mm-hmm. the kind of guy to waste his time.
Yeah. He pretty much hits every single one of my blogs, which is kind of funny. I'm always like, oh, no. Oh, no. What did I do?
Right on.
I think that we're all on our own little paths, but we all have intersecting points.
Mhm. Yeah.
Which is
I definitely agree.
That blog you did recently about how about honor, how some people will say, "Oh, well, you agree with somebody, therefore you must be a sheep," which I just think is BS. I mean, think about it. Like, let me give you a simplistic example. Let's say I say 1 plus 1 equals 2. That's super simple. But does that mean that if somebody agrees with that fact, that they're a sheep? No, they just also understand that it is truth.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a hard lesson for me to learn, actually, because you have so many people that will come and be like, oh, I see what's going on here, and you're like, that's not really it at all, you know? It's you know, I'll post something, and I'll change my mind when I start reading the comments, because I'm like, yeah, I think I was wrong here. And when I say I'm wrong, I've had people be like, why do you always do that? And I'm like, because I read their stuff and realized that they were right, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's certainly nothing wrong with admitting when when you're wrong. That's something I wish more people could do. You know, that goes back. I'm sorry, what?
I said it's a rare thing to see because people tend to be egocentric and they're like, oh, I can't be wrong or my ego will shatter and I'll get butthurt or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing about that, though, is it is more of an ego builder, and by ego builder, I mean, I should say an essence builder, because the ego is just a false essence, in my opinion, but it's more of an essence builder when you have been found wrong, and you realize that you've been found wrong, that, you know, it kind of conveys this message to your brain that, you know, that you're human still, and that you can make mistakes, and you can still grow, and that there's further to go, so.
Yeah, it burns to the core.
Yeah, and it's you know, you did a post one time about that piece that I like quite a bit, where you said, you know, and your feelings do get hurt, because it's absolutely true, you know, you're like, you know, I was part of that, or, you know, I like that, no, I'm not letting this go, and then, you know, you have to stop and think, and it's always difficult to do. And yeah, I've always, you know, I always tell my husband, I think that human beings do always view themselves as gods without realizing it, in the sense that they think they're relatively infallible, and that something is always somebody else's fault or something else's fault, and that they're absolutely right. It's just a circumstance or something else that happened to them. And it occurs to them that, you know, you're human, that means you're going to make mistakes, which means that it might be your fault, you know. Like, a perfect analogy would be if somebody gets fired. You know, it's that their boss was an asshole and he didn't like them and blah, 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 blah. Yet, if you start talking to them, they'll be like, well, I was late 10 times in a month. Well, that's why you got fired. Your boss isn't an asshole, you know.
Yeah, people get emotional. I think the reason is because the center of our brain is the reptilian brain, which hosts the emotion centers of our brain. When we make decisions, stimulus comes in, and it first goes to the reptilian self, or the center of the brain, and then the message is relayed to the rational center. So a lot of our decisions are based off of emotion, and so people tend to equate their beliefs with their emotions without realizing it. So when somebody proves them wrong, it hurts a lot on an emotional level.
Yeah.
And you have to change that.
Yeah, no, I would definitely say that is absolutely true. And I think that it's I think it's difficult, you know, to actually separate your emotions from your ideas. I think it's one of those things that is very most people don't do it, you know. Or they go for what feels good to keep that part of them happy, you know. And that's I was reading a post somebody did on faith, and I was like, me and Orb were talking about on the news, and I said, I like faith. It makes me happy. You know, I like faith. I like hope. I like what. But I guess the difference between me and other people is that I sort of know their why while I still take them because they make me happy.
Right on. I'm having a little bit of technical trouble here, guys. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, but there's
a static
in the background.
I'm sorry, what's in the background?
It's kind of static. It's kind of a crackling sound.
Yeah, that's it's time to get a new headset. I'm just not quite ready to go out and buy one yet, so I'm trying to get the last little bit of life out of this one.
Right on. How much would it cost to get a new set?
The one that I'd like to get is $30. So that's the one I usually get, although I'm considering getting something a little higher quality and hopefully get rid of that wicked echo issue that I get occasionally.
Yeah, I do the same thing, though. I use it till it broke.
Right on. Well, you know, I'll use it till it's absolutely dead, and then we'll go from there.
Yep. Yeah. I would do the same thing. I'm a very cheap person.
I don't really consider it to be a thing of cheapness. I consider it to be a respectful action towards the thing that you've got. You know, you're showing that you did in fact value it because you've kept it and used it for so long.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think we use
it for that period of time.
Yes.
What's that, man?
I said at least it worked for that period of time.
Right. Well, it's kind of like this. My ex-stepfather, every 5 years, goes out and buys a new car. It doesn't matter if the car that he has is still in good shape. It doesn't matter that it still runs well. It's just this 5 years, it's time to go spend more money on a vehicle, you know, just for the simple fact that you have a newer vehicle then. And to me, that was always retarded, because my idea is until the fucking engine blows up, the tires roll off of it, and, you know, you just can't turn it anymore or use it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would definitely agree with you. I'm kind of a, you know, I think that, so. Yeah, well, I think that so many people in society in general makes things very disposable. I mean, you know, I know that when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure that we had our TV for a good 15 years. You know, it wasn't replaced because a better model came out. You know, it finally died, and my mom bought a new one. And, you know, so many people just kind of, you know, upgrade to the newest model all the time.
Right on. Well, we got about 3 minutes left, and so we don't get tied up too much in this, I just wanted to say thank you. We made it a whole hour. You know, it was a good show. Great picture. Can't wait to put this banner up. And anything you want to say in closing?
I don't know. Not really. Just a, you know, happy anniversary to the Ooze. And I think it's just going to get better as time goes on. You know, I think
right
that you do have a channel on your hands.
I can't wait for the day. Right on.
Happy anniversary for the U.S. I am glad I could call in tonight.
Right on, Lehi. Yeah. If you're serious about pitching in on the Saturday episode, we should maybe coordinate a little after the show or whatever and see what we can come up with.
Definitely should. I just need, I think mostly I just need topics to make sure we're on the same page when it comes to a particular night. Because I got going on, so if I know ahead of time, I can plan accordingly.
Right on. Yeah, well, we'll work that out. Just give me a shout, man. I know you're a busy guy, and I'm not as busy at the moment, so, you know, whenever you get a chance.
Rock on.
All right, cool. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow night at the same time for about 15 minutes with Zach Black.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
You have a good night.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?